A Lannister always pays his debts. Welcome to the White Book Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones LCG podcast. Founded in 2010 as Two Chimps and a Chump, we thought it best to rename and rebrand ourselves freshly just in time for the game to keep the same in the second edition. Tune in each week for your dose of strategy, discussion, jokes, and good old geek culture. A huge thank you goes out to GRRM for his amazing novels, FFG for this fantastic game, Card Game DB for getting us a start, and you, our loyal listeners, for sticking through thick and thin. Check us out on our website, Facebook, or Twitter, or email us at contact@whitebookpodcast.com and rate us on iTunes. This CC licensed music is Town Function by Spinners. Listeners, welcome to episode 269 of The White Book. We're going to have a little bit of a different introduction today because I am re-recording this one after our normal recording of the episode because, I wanted to explain why we had the delay and the audio issues. Somehow, Zencastr goofed up its local recording, and despite the test recording of local audio seeming fine, and despite both Roy and Aaron's tracks seeming fine, mine was ultra robot-y, so I unfortunately had to pass on putting the episode out on Friday because I didn't want to subject the listeners to that, and instead I went back through probably 75% of the episode and re-recorded my own audio, which was a different experience. That's not something I've done before, but it is at least an option now that we're using Zencastr and have separate audio tracks. I tried to do my best to trim where I could to keep that time down, that I had to redo that and try to still act as well as I could to make everything I said fit. So hopefully it still comes along smoothly and easily, and you guys enjoy it. This is a team honor episode with myself and Roy. Unfortunately, Luke was unable to make it, so Aaron is joining us for our review. As well, I just wanted to take a second to thank once again all the folks that have contributed to support us on Patreon. I've already put some of those funds toward picking up new mics for a couple of the hosts. Hopefully they will have those and be ready to roll for the next time they are on. So if you have been considering supporting us, we've got some perks listed over there on the Patreon page, which of course is going to be patreon.com/whitebookpodcast. Check it out. Consider sending us a little funds to cover our hosting and put towards prizes and things as we go. And then I guess we'll move on to Roy with a little bit of information on upcoming events in New York. So let's go.
So yeah, I just wanted to, because we finalized the details like literally today when we're recording this, which is Wednesday the 26th. So we're ready. New York City is ready to announce the basic details of our biggest tournament of the year, which is Red Saturday, which is always held the weekend of American Thanksgiving, which this year will be actually exactly a month from now, November 26th, Saturday, November 26th at 10 a.m. in Midtown Manhattan. You can go on Card Game DB or the AGOT Facebook group or the New York City meta page to get sort of the address and all that good stuff. But the sort of basic details is we're going to be having our usual amazing prize support, which includes custom playmats, a custom alt art card, And this year we're adding a stone house card for the winner. We have a really cool trophy that is going to be passed down with each winner's name. So yes, Aaron Glazer's name is on this trophy. So if you are that much of an Aaron Glazer admirer,
who actually likes that. Hey, by the way,
Will, I do.
Will, you said we couldn't troll Beyond the Wall, and Roy just trolled Beyond the Wall.
What?
He just said the basic.
Roy.
He said the basic details is.
I leave for 30 seconds, and Roy is the one that betrays my trust. There you go.
Yeah. The basic details is in Alex's
head. Oh, God, English teachers. Anyway.
Alex's head exploded, guaranteed. He started crying tears of blood.
Excuse me. The basic details are, would you like me to start over, Aaron?
No, please don't repeat all that crap. Will is on a time limit. Come to the tournament. It'll be fun. We'll go drink after.
Absolutely.
If I actually show up.
Aaron will be showing up. I will do everything in my power to make sure he is the defending champion. This is how we confirmed that Aaron Glazer is good at this game at the beginning of 2.0 is when he won this tournament, for those of us with short memories. So you should come if you're on the East Coast.
And I was never good again. It was great.
And feel free to reach out to me if you need a place to stay in New York City. I can help make arrangements. Many members of our meta will open their homes to people. So it's an amazing tournament. It's my favorite tournament of the year. It's after Gen Con. It's just fantastic. So
the Ottawa boys are coming.
They are coming. So that means there will be at least two, technically three podcasts probably represented there. So,
what three?
Yes.
Second Sons, White Book, and Beyond the Wall?
Yep. Well, then it's actually technically four. I wasn't including Sons.
Oh. Okay. I guess we don't count. That's fine.
Okay, here we are, listeners. We finally have the Lions of the Rock box fully spoiled for us to review. We've got the first portion of that up this week. We're going to run through the Lannister cards. Now, obviously, we're going to split this in multiple parts and just do the Lannister cards, because we're going to go back to doing them card by card with talk and rating, because if we use the new format of just talking about the house as a whole, I mean, we're done with Lannister in, 10 minutes or whatever, and we move on. So we're going to go ahead, and I think, I'll go ahead and kick it off with the first card.
Good. I want the third one.
Yep. So it's going Will, me, Aaron then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so first up, we've got Cersei Lannister. She's going to be a 7-cost loyal, unique Lannister character. She's got intrigue and power icons and 6 strength, the lady and queen traits. And Cersei Lannister does not kneel when declared as an attacker in an intrigue challenge. And reaction, after one or more cards are discarded from an opponent's hand, if you do not support that player, Cersei Lannister gains 1 power. Limit 3 times per round. Okay, am I allowed to start with melee thoughts?
You are to me.
If you want me to not listen while you talk, sure.
Okay, I mean, that's fine. So, I mean, I like the power grab here. Obviously, that's always good in melee, and even if you can't just trigger it off of multiple discards of your own, maybe you can grab Master of Whisperers, or, I mean, you can always trigger it off of other players' actual entry challenges. And I love power grab that's not always based just on what I do, but occurs just off of the other players playing the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think taking it sort of one step further, I think she's an interesting card on 2 points. One, I think she's an interesting card that she promotes a somewhat different Lannister deck, or at least a Lannister deck that has really focuses on the intrigue theme, which has kind of fallen away from Lannister over the course of the first cycle. So it's kind of cool to see that really being pushed with her. But she's also good enough, I think, and this is where Aaron, the king of good stuff decks, can really tell us, is I think she can make a one of in sort of greedy Lannister decks that are generating enough economy to play, run a third 7 cost, or the kind of deck that's running like 3 Tywins and at least 1 or 2 Mountains right now, right? You could maybe slide in a Cersei. She's very efficient. 7 cost 6 strength is great. She's got good icons and the sort of pseudo renown, not attacking the intrigue challenge, guaranteeing maybe being able to pull a range trigger off when we come to that agenda in a minute. So I really like this card. She's like a solid B plus to me.
I think she's excellent, but her usefulness will wax and wane with the prevalence of, in the meta of Ward. And given that both this and Core Cersei are evergreen and Ward is not, she will at some point not see very much play. For the time being, as long as, you know, Martell Wolf and Stark are both playing Ward, she's got a home. But I think, like with Valor, the more resets we get, the more Core Cersei tops this. And in addition to the more resets we get, Trial by Combat is just so amazing with Core Cersei, like as a one-sided board wipe, that it's hard for me to see this getting a lot of play over that card, especially in a meta which is already seeing smaller boards.
Although,
does Leaping Lions maybe want to consider another, you know, big body like that?
No, Leaping Lions is running 3 Trial by Combat and 3 Cersei. 3 little Cersei.
Although this slightly undermine Aaron's point, Ward and Trial by Combat are hooked at the hip. Or hooked at the hip. Not linked at the hip. Because
Ward and Trial by Combat, what?
Trial by Combat, they're both in the first cycle. So
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if Ward is helping push, you know, Core Cersei out, then when Ward goes away, so will Trial by Combat. I just want to make that
clear. Sure. And the first 2 cycles rotate out at the same time, right?
Yes.
So then at that point, Valor would rotate out, so we'd have a very, very fresh game in a lot of ways. Yeah, I can see that being a different thing. I'd still think in 95% of my games, I'd rather hit Core Cersei than her, than this Cersei. But, I mean, Stark Fealty's good, and Martell Wolf is good, and Lannister Wolf is good. Like, these are good decks that run a couple Ward, and there is probably no better target in the game than that Cersei. So it's a tough act to follow with a big drawback. And this is expensive and has the same name. So like I'm not sure where I run this unless I'm trying to run a dedicated gain some power pretty quickly deck. Like I think this is pretty good in Martell blah, 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 Rose, where you can run a bunch of extra ladies type tech.
How are you running this?
Lannister Rose. I don't know where I've only played Martell lately, sorry. Lannister Rose, where like you run all the little like if you have a knight and a lady stuff. And then, you know, she's grabbing stupid amounts of power.
I mean, I like that she kinda does the work of 2 bodies. Really makes it a lot easier to justify the cost. I mean,
three with Casterly Rock.
Yeah, she's pretty. I mean, again, I think actually more so than Cat. I guess the most comparable card to her is the second Cat, and I'd say she's definitely a better card than the second Cat because I think the synergies that she helps create, the intrigue deck you can build around her, it builds on the Lannister card pool in a more organic way than the new cat, the Wolf's Cat does. Because the Wolf's Cat means you're giving up the best Stark character, basically, besides maybe Rob or Fast Eddie.
Also weak to Ward.
And weak to Ward. But I mean, Cat, that the original Cat is still so good you play her even with Ward, right, Aaron?
Oh, yeah. I think you play Cersei at this point even with Ward.
The core Cersei?
Yeah. Like, boards are just a lot smaller than they've been in the history of the game so far. Yeah, I'm just going to give her a B. I think she's a very good card who will always have a home in certain decks. Those decks are not every deck, so that keeps her down to a B.
I say B+.
I think B.
Oakley Doakley. Next card.
Okay. So, speaking of cards that already have another version of them, we have the boxes version of Tyrion Lannister. He is 7 cost, all 3 icons, military, intrigue, power, 5 strength, unique, lord, loyal. No keywords, but he does have this huge reaction. After you win a challenge, return an attacking clansman character to your hand to choose one, draw two cards, gain 3 gold, or raise the claim value on your revealed plot card by 1 until the end of the challenge. Limit twice per phase. This Tyrion is really good. He pushes a new theme of this clansman, like specifically clansman, and as we'll see later, there's more clansmen in the box. He gives you a really strong effect. He gives you what, and if you have a clansman deck, he is better than the core Tyrion because he can get you 1 more gold. He draws you cards. He can, you know, he does so much more than that Tyrion does. He's a real build around character. He's a tricon. He does everything a 7-cost character should do. He, in anything but this a clansman deck, though, he is not as good as the core Tyrion. So, again, I gotta rate this card just because his name is Tyrion Lannister as a B+. But
I think he's as good as Cersei.
I think he's as good as Cersei. I think the clansman deck is ridiculous. He lets you draw 2 cards, Aaron.
I mean, 4 cards. He lets you draw 4 cards.
4 fucking cards.
Yeah, I mean, then you just need to play him, right? And hope he survives. He's fine. He's an okay card. I don't think clansman's actually very good. I think it's fun. I just don't think it's very good. Hopefully someone proves me wrong, because it'd be nice if clansmen were good besides for, you know, the very last chapter pack of first edition.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of a weird one, isn't it? I mean, with the clansman angle, like, this is by far the most specific of any of the 7 costers that we've got right now. So, I mean, I think I like that he looks pretty strong in this one really dedicated deck that he fits into.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll be great in that deck. It's just, how good does that deck end up being?
I mean, I definitely agree with that. I mean, Clansman may not end up being very strong, but this card is bonkers, and what balances it is the fact that it requires the Clansman to work, right? And this is, I mean, one of the dangers, right, of having a Lannister box right now in the card pool with how the first and what looks like what we see of the second cycle has been designed is if they had just slapped a new, you know, a bunch of efficient Lannister cards into this box, Lannister would be what the Facebook group thinks it is, which is absolutely broken. But what they decided to do, thankfully, is sort of mix things up, put some new themes, maybe put a few new efficient cards, as we'll get to, or some semi-efficient cards like the Cersei we just talked about, or this Tyrion, who pushes a deck that literally could not have existed before this box. So I really think that Danny and Nate deserve a pat on the back for this card, and I hope that Clansman ends up being a tier 1 or tier 0.5 deck, because it seems like fun based on these cards, and this Tyrion is a fun, impactful card to play. And I'm going to stick by that. I don't think he's as good as an A, but I think he's a nice, solid B+ card.
Beyond Tywin, for obvious reasons, because Tywin makes everyone amazing, what is the single card you would most like to be on the board with Tyrion?
Clansmen? I don't know. Right. Moon Brothers, maybe?
With him? Yeah, Moon Brothers is a good option. Or even... I mean, Shella's pretty good with him.
Harrenhal.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. Harrenhal. Yeah, because you can bounce the. Oh yeah, that's kind of nuts.
Yeah.
So see, I mean, we're already talking about amazing synergies this card promotes. So.
Yeah. And 11 gold isn't terrible. It's just finding both that's going to be pain in the ass.
When you're drawing 4 cards a turn, Aaron.
Yeah, I just feel like he's so integral to the deck that without a real way to save him, I'm not a huge fan.
Well,
I think it really holds it back.
He's a lord. He's got a. You can put bodyguards on him.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, and if you wanted to get really desperate, you can always go Banner of the Kraken for Iron Mines.
Yeah, for your Lenny jumper with Clansman. Yeah. Banner of the Kraken.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, you. Hey, Asha's a good card, I hear.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Run Theon all the ward targets.
Yeah, that's just who I was thinking about.
I think he's a C+.
Yeah, this is tough. He's so specialized. I want to give him, like, 2 ratings, but, gosh, in the end, it probably bounces out to, like, a C-plus range for me. But in these decks, he's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah. He's definitely, and I hope I'm a little bit wrong, card.
I hope you're wrong, too.
Oh, if Roy hopes I'm wrong, I'm definitely right.
Ouch. Heart broke.
Ready for Kevin?
Almost. I mean, there's one other thought that I had to mention on Tyrion, which we kind of glossed over. Like, we talked about the different options. Like, the potentially drawing the cards is awesome. The 3 gold is kind of so-so, maybe, when compared to his core set version. But, I mean, that claim boost and that potential to have 2 claim turn after turn on virtually any challenge.
It's not virtually, because he doesn't trigger it. A clansman triggers it. So you need a clansman with the right icon.
But they've got the location in here that'll give an icon.
Right, so now you're messing with different combos, though. Like, it's not that easy.
Well, yeah, okay. But there's some options, but... Even just on the military claim, like that, every turn, that adds up.
You better have
Man, 2 claims is nothing to sneeze at.
Sure, but then you better have Harrenhal, because if they can win a military, they're getting functional 2 claim also.
Well, sort of. I there's some room to play. Initiative is going to be important to make sure you're getting that to go off first or something. But, I think it has potential to be stronger than we really acknowledge so far.
I mean, you win an intrigue with core Cersei and a clansman, and then you play Trial by Combat for that 3 military claim. Then you jump another clansman and you get 2 more military claim. 5 military claim, but if you had a 2 claim plot, that's 7 military claim on 1 turn.
Well, I don't even think you have to go quite that far.
Wait, no, why would you?
You can just get up to, like, 3. Well, you could go that far.
You should definitely go that far.
I mean,
well, even just like 3 is going to be potentially backbreaking.
Yeah.
Absolutely. One of the advantages, though, that this Tyrion does have over the core Tyrion is his effect goes off even if he gets knelt, and the stealth.
So does the core Tyrion.
Yeah, so does the core Tyrion. But the core Tyrion stealth, like all of the things that this guy does, as soon as he's on the table, it goes off the stealth. Because Tyrion, you also like that stealth.
Sure.
Well,
but
as long as you have the clansmen available.
Right.
Yeah, but you have to win with this guy. Core Tyrion doesn't have to win.
That's true.
The challenge has to happen. Yeah, Core Tyrion's the best card in the game. You should probably, or one of the 2 or 3 best cards in the game. You should probably stop arguing about that card. Like you should just move on from that bullshit argument. That Tyrion's an A+ or an S rank, and this Tyrion is like, at best, with your crazy rating, a B+. So. Alright, Sir Kevin? Is the 2012 Chinese National Champion Bing Ouyang card. It's a reprint from first edition with some changes. House Lannister, non-loyal. Really wish this was loyal. 6 for 4, intrigue power. Knight, lord, and small council, because eventually that'll matter. After you marshal Sir Kevin Lannister, choose a Lannister or neutral location or attachment in your discard pile, and put it into play. He's the single best reason we have in the game to run Tower of the Hand, because he is, if you can pull that off, functionally just a ridiculous amount of extra gold and milks and anything else you want to run.
Yeah, he's pretty obnoxious with Harrenhal and Tower of the Hand.
No, he doesn't work with Harrenhal.
It's Marshall.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was... Too high. Yeah.
Thinking of the first edition version, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's Tower of the Hand, not Harrenhal, but like, if you're getting a King's Road, he puts it into play, right? So, as long as you can keep affording that 6, he's basically a 3 for 4, and then you just continually are able to bounce something 5 cost or lower.
Also, for what it's worth, I mean, you could bounce him with Daring Rescue as well. I'm not saying I'm advocating it, but it is possible.
No, it's not a bad idea. You can bounce him with Daring Rescue. You could, I guess that's really it, right? Well, I felt like there was something else, but I guess not.
There's nothing else. Not a ton. But I do dig him, and like you mentioned with Mocha the Poppy, as if that didn't already have a huge rate of return for the 1 gold investment versus what you're neutralizing. Now you can bring it back once your opponent finds a way to get rid of it. Whew. Man.
Yeah. I mean, you could also just march his ass and play another.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the most obnoxious part about this card is... Is it the King's Road or is it the Milks? I think it's the Milks.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's the Harrenhal.
Yeah, that's also pretty obnoxious. The ability like to, like, chuck a Harrenhal to, like, for an intrigue challenge or like, to...
My general feeling is Harrenhal plus the Hound is one of the most powerful combinations in the game right now.
It's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Like Marshall Hound, win challenge. Spend 4 gold, win challenge. Jump Hound in with Harrenhal, win challenge. Win game. Anything that makes that easier is good. Because, like, especially because if you know that you have a Kevin, you can just, like, chuck a Harrenhal to reserve.
Yeah. It's a good card. And he's not loyal, so he can go into, like, your Bear a Lion to get the Red Keep.
No, he can't. He can't.
Oh, it has to be Lannister. You
could really have these cards up,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Lannister and neutral. But, you know, I do like his traits. Knight and Lord, of course, have some good stuff. Small Council looks like maybe it's going to get a little bit more love. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Knights, yeah, these are just good traits. Like, he's a good card, like, for a lot of reasons. I don't see any Lannister deck not running at least one.
Yeah, but probably most of them are not going all in on him. He's probably just a one of in most decks.
Unless you're running a Harrenhal, Tower of the Hand, shenanigans type thing.
Right, right. But, and if you're specifically trying to combo with him, sure. But I don't think most decks really want to go straight to that.
I still think he's like an A minus card. Maybe even A.
Yeah, I'm thinking like a solid B.
I think
I like his ability, but I just see him as a one of.
I think he's the best card in this entire, like, the best Lannister card. Yeah, I think he's pretty much the best Lannister card in this box.
I don't think it's the best Lannister card, but he's definitely an A.
So now you two are both going to have to say what the best Lannister card is when we get there.
Sure.
So I can mock you. Good.
Okay, on to Timmit. Son of Timmit. He's non-loyal. Unique, of course. 6 cost, military and power icons, and 4 strength. Has the clansman trait. And then the reaction after you win a challenge in which Timmit, Son of Timmit, is attacking. Choose and kill a character with printed cost X or lower. X is the number of clansmen characters you control. well, I guess my first thought is really be careful what order you trigger him and Tyrion in, and make sure that you do Tyrion first.
He's kind of expensive to use for Tyrion at all, isn't he?
Well, I'm not necessarily saying you're bouncing him for Tyrion, but even if you're bouncing another clansman.
Yeah,
then it's going to be lowering Timmit's activation.
Is he the only clansman with a power icon, though?
I think so. Yeah.
So if you want that sweet, sweet 2 clan power, Timmit's got to do the happy dance.
Well, I mean, you've got Mountains and the Moon.
Yeah, the Moon Door and somebody else. And something happens to have jumped in that turn. Isn't that how it works, or am I crazy?
Yeah. It's after the clansman enters play, so you want it to be ambush.
Gotta be Burn, brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or Harrenhal, I guess.
But you can kill on the power challenge with Timmit, which is pretty nice.
Yeah. It's a really good way to get rid of, like, little one-drop chuddy shits.
Yeah, that extra kill is great. He's kind of like a Lannister version of the Plaza of Punishment, right? Knocking off some of that extra chud for claim and stuff on those power challenges. And I love having
you can
that.
You can do it with military, too. It happens before claim.
Well, right. But I like having it on the power challenge. or the ability there gives your ability to force your opponent to cover more bases. I like having that on the off chance. I can see that.
He's kind of a little bit obnoxious, to be completely honest. That's fine. I think this card is actually pretty strong. It will definitely go in your Clansman deck, obviously, and it could theoretically show up in some sort of Landy Jumper deck that's not explicitly built around Clansman that does kind of what you, Will, and Aaron have been saying of, like, getting rid of the reducers or even getting rid of, like, decent two-cost characters. If you have this and a Burn Man out, you can kill pretty solid array of Chud characters. But, like, I just don't like that this is just straight-up kill just for winning a challenge. Yeah, it rewards you for Clansmen, but it's just kill. You know, I think this card is okay, but I find him kind of obnoxious. So I don't like it. I don't like this card from an experiential level. It's more kill in the game.
I think pretty similarly to that. The extra kill does kind of worry me, especially when we see a Preston of Morva coming with down the pipeline, like with Roose Bolton or something. It makes me wonder, geez, there's just going to be a lot of really repeatable kill on the board here in the game really soon. And that does worry me a little bit. But with Timid, I kind of want to see how to play it out with him, because, like, the way Lannister's pool is, like, this rewards you for going all in on Clansmen. Otherwise, you're only going to be hitting, like, one or maybe two cost guys, which doesn't worry me that much. And the way Lannister's character base is, like, most of the time, aren't you wanting, like, Khor Tyrion and Jaime and, like, Tywin on the board rather than, like, this Timmit and three Moon Brothers or something? So, like, you're going to really have to skew outside of Lannister's traditional power base to take advantage of this. And, you know, with all the cards being so new, it is a little hard to judge whether people are going to be willing to make that sacrifice. But I'm kind of leaning toward no in broad strokes. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. He's a find him in the right order at the right time kind of card, which makes him a little awkward. Like, you really want to already have Tyrion. You really already want to have Clansman Chud. You see him too early before you see the right stuff. He's just kind of there.
Absolutely. I do want to say, though, like, I mean, I praised Nate and Danny for designing Cersei and to design Tyrion, but this card is sort of the opposite. Like, I feel like, again, they just went to kill as a, you know, we need a card that does something impactful, so we'll have a kill shit. Like, I'm just disappointed in this card. I'll give it, like, because it kills things, so it still could be pretty good because it kills stuff. I'll give it a C, but otherwise, I just don't like this card.
I think I very much agree. I think it's a C card. I think it's a good card. I think that as a six coster that kills stuff, it unfortunately begs comparison to something that's seven cost and kills stuff. And does its job just way better. Like, he doesn't have a trait that makes him cheaper. He's just expensive. Like, as a five coster, I think he's a really, really good card. And as a six coster, I think he's just in an awkward spot for his cost.
He'd be broken if he was a five coster.
I don't think why would he be broken? For killing a one drop most of the time? He'd be a one of in a lot of Lannister decks as a one coster, but I don't think that makes him broken.
I think he's just, at that point, he'd be too efficient. 5 for 4, good, you know, two icons, and it can kill Chud and make military challenges more impactful. Like, I think that's way too efficient for 5. I think the fact that you said that he's 6 makes him awkward is one of the few balancing things about the card.
Yeah, I don't think he's that good that he needs to be that, like, balanced. I think he's just an okay card. I don't think you have to balance okay cards. I think you have to balance really good cards, but whatever. He's a card that exists. He certainly exists. Good for him.
And it is worth pointing out that he'll be harder to use once Valor enters the card pool. You know, it's going to be harder to go wide and rely on having a lot of these non-unique clansmen out there on the board to be reliable to kill something bigger than like one costers. So it's something to kind of watch.
Yeah, I think he's probably a C card.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on the C.
Right, what'd you give him?
C. Sorry. I think we all agreed, actually, at the end of the day. I think we gave the same letter grade, but we came to our conclusions in different ways.
I can see that.
Are we going on to Sir Jaime Lannister?
Yes, sir.
I mean, why would we not?
All right.
I can think of a few reasons.
Yeah, I mean...
What are they?
well, we'll get to them in a second.
Yeah.
So this is Sir Jaime Lannister. He is a 5-cost... military intrigue, 4-strength, unique Kingsguard Knight, which I think this is the first version in second edition with the Kingsguard trait. He's non-loyal. He has the text, each knight character you control gains renown while attacking alone. And then he has a challenges action. Choose a Kingsguard character until the end of the phase. That character gains an intrigue icon limit once per phase. I think the number one problem with this card is it used the really beautiful, if you're a 1.0 player, you will know this card really well, Shadows Jaime art on this shitty version of Jaime. This is what I would want, like, for a Jaime that is going to, like...
Is he not a lord?
He is not.
Correct.
Why the fuck would you play this card? Because
he's in the Kingsguard, right? So he's not a lord. It's very deadly. No.
That's fine. Why would you play him over Core Jaime? Does anyone have a single reason?
No, because he sucks. I mean, maybe if we get a lot of good, efficient Kingsguard characters, like putting an intrigue icon on Barristan is pretty solid, but like then...
I mean, yeah, but who cares?
But then you're not running the good Jaime.
This Jaime just kind of reads like, well, like the Tyrion we were just talking about, who's super specific and very different from his corset version. Only, like, the whole box is, like, full of stuff to make that Tyrion work and go in that deck. I mean, clansmen. And then we get this Jaime that has to go in a Kingsguard deck. And there's no clansmen, or sorry, Kingsguard in here to go with it and make it a thing.
But, like, what would a Kingsguard, like, what kind of Kingsguard could you print, like... That you would need an intrigue icon that bad. Like, it might be nice, but, like, even if it were nice, wouldn't you rather just have a non-kneeling 5-strength military challenge?
I mean, the question is, like...
With renown?
Yeah, well, on one challenge.
Here's the thing. Like, military. If this Jaime was in a cycle or a box...
He doesn't get renown unless he's alone anyway.
I know, which makes him, again, straight up worse than the Shadows.
But it is each knight character.
He's a D.
Not just this Jaime.
So you're at most... 3 power extra.
Right, but here's the thing. Like, a lot of the Kingsguard knights are going to end up with renown anyway, so...
Yeah.
It's
Didn't they just release a Kingsguard that had renown? If your opponent has fewer than 3 characters or whatever?
No, that's Sir Emery Lorch. He
means renown,
right?
I don't know who's a Kingsguard or not. I forgot about
that. He does give all knights that potential renown, so maybe... There's a melee build with knights that wants to go wide and just, like, win a challenge anywhere it can.
Yeah, but, like, that's not fast enough. Like, if you want a bunch of renown, you're doing it for speed.
Yeah.
And, like...
And it being on your own.
Yeah, like, you can't just do it in one big challenge. It has to be 3 little challenges, which makes it a million times easier to stop.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's harder to trigger those power gain events, you know, superior claim.
Hey, you know what knight really likes attacking alone? Ow, my cat just bit me.
Core Jaime.
What?
Gregor?
No. Like, legitimately has to attack alone is the Knight of Flowers, who has renown anyway. Also, Core Jaime, who has renown anyway.
But that Knight of Flowers doesn't have the Kingsguard trait, Aaron.
And Gregor, who has renown. No, but they can all get renown from this.
But he already has renown.
Right, that's what Aaron's saying.
I'm just saying, like, it's just...
All right, this card gets an F.
Yeah, he gets an F.
Yeah.
But the thing is...
With a different name, he might get a D. With this name,
If this was Balin Swan...
It's Jaime. Like, it's not even like they made such a shitty card like some schmuck. They chose one of the most iconic characters who they already made a really great version of and gave us a piece of shit.
It's an F. This should be Kettle Black.
Yeah.
Like, even if he was 5-for-5, he'd be better. Like, there's so many things you could change about this. And he would be better if like you released a cycle that was like all about Kings, like the original Shadows Champion, right? There were all a bunch of these Kingsguards in his pack. So at the very least, you could say like, oh, you buy this pack or this box and you can build a Kingsguard deck. But we have like three other Kingsguard characters right now. Like, what the fuck are you? So you're gonna give Barristan an intrigue icon and he can attack alone? It's only attacking alone, right? Yeah, yeah. It's just terrible. Like,
is it terrible or terrible?
Terrible.
Okay, cool. Can you give it an F so we can talk about a different card?
I said F. All
right, cool.
Okay, I've got one other little thing.
That it fails?
Well, yeah, actually it is. Because I was thinking about how you, thinking about the Barristan Selmy and how that would kind of lock you into a Lannister stag build or the reverse. And then I realized about this Jamie not being a lord, like, so it's representing the Kingsguard version? So, like, why is the Kingsguard version House also, Lannister?
Wait, another funny thing. I'm pretty sure that the Sir Barristan Selmy in this box is not Kingsguard, so he doesn't even synergize with the only other possible character that he can. Well, I know that would be broken.
It would be great. That would actually make it have a home. Are you serious that that's a thing? Like, that Barristan's not a Kingsguard? I just assumed he was.
I'm pretty sure he's not. I will double check.
Just a knight.
Yeah.
That's fucking embarrassing.
Okay, right. So it's just...
So on every possible level this fails, Tywin Lannister is the next card. He is a... God, I don't like this card. He is a Lannister loyal card, 5/5, intrigue power, lord and small council. He has only pillage. Yes, they made a Tywin Lannister who has no renown. Interrupt. When exactly one card is discarded from a player's deck, instead look at the top two cards of that deck and discard one. This card's kind of bad.
Yeah, I just kind of look at that and think, man, if he had, like, Pillage and Insight or something?
Or Pillage and Renown. Like, he needs another keyword desperately. Like, I mean, just, you know what other card has that name. It's not like it, the other card that has that name is a secret, right? Like,
Right.
Okay. I'm going to push back a little bit on Aaron.
You're
going to
be wrong. It's cool.
That's fine. Whatever, Aaron.
Is this the best Lannister card that you were going to tell me?
No, it's not the best Lannister card. But just like, look, I agree with you. The fact that the card's named Tywin Lannister, that
it has to be great to see play.
See play. Or be, so either has to be even more broken than core Tywin, which fuck
or
that.
Just really good and affordable. If it had Insight, there's decks you play this in over core Tywin. If it has Renown, there's decks you play this in over core Tywin. And it's not broken.
Or... You Insight on a 5-cost character with Pillage and this ability, whatever. Or you do a very niche card that pushes different kinds of deck building. And this does encourage you to build a different kind of deck that wouldn't necessarily see
bad kind.
Well, maybe it's bad, but who knows? Yeah,
I don't know that it's going to be good, but I do know a lot of folks that are excited about it, at least.
Like, this is a moment where I'm going to say, like, not everything has to be the hyper-efficient Aaron Glazer DC attitude. Like, you can build a really fucking cool Pillage deck with this card that can...
Oof, cool?
It's fun for some people. Like, and then you'll fucking hate that deck when he does the mountain, looks at the top two cards, puts your Eddard on the top, and kills him.
You know what we were really... That's what everyone was waiting for in this game. We were looking for a way to make the mountain more annoying.
Or the Tickler, we were
looking for a way to give him less control over the dice you roll.
And he's very efficient for a 5-cost character. 5/5 is good. All right? I mean,
it's definitely a thing.
It's a thing. Like, yes. It's
7/6 and then having a bunch of bonus strength is better, though.
I mean, let's just look at it kind of in comparison to the Genie we were just talking about. Well, they're both 5-cost and similar with other much stronger versions available in the pool. They're a little awkward, but at least there's a lot of other cards in the pool and in some in this box that do work with this Tywin. So he's got broader
scope.
What
is the best card with this Tywin?
I mean, Gregor?
Cool. The mountain is still better with core Tywin. So, like, his very best case scenario, the other Tywin is still better.
Well, yeah, in like pure game state turns, probably so. It means you've got like two challenges that you just instant win.
You have two challenges that you're going to win. It makes Gregor more affordable. If not, it allows you to fill the board with Claim Soak more effectively. Like, yeah, these are things. He basically guarantees you that win by five trigger, which, you know, he never will because he doesn't have a military icon.
Yeah.
He's an almost there card. Like, he needs one. Like, he's not bad in an isolated sense. Like, Jamie's bad just because Jamie's bad. He's bad because he needed another keyword to actually make him worth five. Because as is, he's just some icons that might do something cool once in a while. But most of the time, it's still probably going to do nothing. And the thing he does is the most annoying thing in the game.
Well, the tricky thing about it is, like, unless you're... Well, okay, you can combo him with something like Gregor, like we were talking about. But his ability actually looks quite a bit like something that was in Magic the Gathering and got named Fade Seal, but where it was very strong. But in Game of Thrones, we're different. Like, our resource system is different, so you can't just bury a person's chances to keep drawing any income out of their deck, because they've got plots available for resources. You're only drawing one card a turn by default in Magic, whereas we draw two, so it's much easier to draw past whatever shenanigans you did to a single card at the top of the deck and dig into some other stuff. So, like, it doesn't apply the same way. Like, here, you're just... whatever your opponent draws is still a random card. So, like, unless you're going all in and trying to make them lose by pillaging out completely, his ability doesn't actually affect anything unless you combo it with something like Gregor.
He also works when you get pillaged. So you can also look at the top two cards of your deck and discard the least advantageous card for you. Like,
or you can keep your opponent's Gregor from going off.
You can keep your opponent's Gregor from going off. Look, again, I don't think this is an amazing card, like, that's going to blow everyone's mind, but yeah, I think...
The listeners heard you.
Yes. Okay, Aaron. You get to run on your opinion all the time. I'm going to push back a little bit on you about this, okay? Which is that this says, look, one, Lannister's going to have a pillage sub-theme even when things like the mountain is going to rotate out, because we have things in the core set like Tickler, and now this, which says... Get ready to land. You know, you don't like the mountain now. Get ready for more Lannister pillage stuff. Two, it creates consistency across a pillage deck, which is something that a good deck needs, right?
Sure, it's just non-interactive for the opponent.
I agree. That I'm not saying pillage is a great theme, but
I mean, it's still challenge based, so there's still that interaction.
It's still I think it's an interesting card, and a lot of people are going to have fun. This is a Shaga card, all right? A lot of people are going to have fun building decks around this. Now, is your opponent going to have fun? Fuck no. The first time, again, to go back to my Eddard example, where Eddard is discarded, and he also kills, you know, like, Catelyn off the board, and so Eddard and Catelyn are both dead, I'm going to be pissed off, all right? But this is at least an interesting version of Tywin Lannister. He's still a D-plus card.
Yeah, that's what I was giving them, D plus. So you went through all that shit to still give it a shitty grade.
Okay, Chella, Daughter of Chig. She's a non-loyal, unique, 4-cost military and intrigue icons, 3 strength, the clansman trait, and says, Chella, Daughter of Chig, gets +1 strength for each ear token she has, and while she has 3 or more ear tokens, she gains Intimidate and Renown. Reaction, after a character is killed during a challenge in which Chella, Daughter of Chake is attacking, place an ear token on her. Okay, two thoughts. Number one, now I'm going to have to figure out some ear tokens for the white book. And number two, if FFG doesn't do some, like, molded acrylic, ear tokens that they give away as prizes at tournaments, I am going to be super bummed.
There's no way in hell they do that.
Well, yeah, okay.
She's got fantastic synergy with both Tyrion and Roy, son of Roy.
Well, yeah, as long as you don't bounce her, at least. You don't want to bounce her and reset the ear tokens.
Yeah, you never bounce her. She is functionally unbounceable. Although, which is obnoxious because she is the only clansman thus far, I believe, with a native entry token.
Yeah, which sure means
if you want to get any of that, you know, sweet, sweet this shit on intrigue, you better have that location and a jumper. Which means you need three cards or you're bouncing her and not getting her stuff. Which really keeps her in check, along with that she's wardable.
Yeah, ward is always something to consider. It's scary. She's not someone I want turned back against me, but... I mean, on the other hand, I'm so tempted by her power in a clansman deck because I can see her being activated like first challenge, you know, military, a little extra claim, Timit trigger and whatever. Yeah, bam.
You just have native two claim.
Exactly.
Yeah, she's really easy to turn on. She's really good, except that she sort of anti-synergizes with the rest of the clansmen.
Yeah, but here's the other thing.
You know, also, you can jump Shagan during the military yeah, challenge.
Yep, as long as it's actually during the challenge, you sure can.
Yeah.
But you know what I love about her? She actually doesn't need clansmen. She doesn't reference them in her ability anywhere. So she's a card I would throw one copy of in virtually any Lannister deck and just be happy with that.
Yeah, I think 4 is a bad cost slot as a general rule for ward. Like, I don't think I run, unless you're, like, broken good, like Cersei and Kat, like Cora Cersei and Cora Kat, I don't think I run 4 costers.
If I'm playing Lannister and I've got Cersei in the deck, or at least the threat of her, like, is my opponent going with ward on Shella or waiting on Cersei?
I mean, like, once you turn Shella on, Like, because, like, you do all the work, and they're like, all right, cool, thanks for that, now I paid 4 for a 6-strength renowned Intimidate character.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think Ward is one of the things that's keeping her in check, and obviously when Ward rotates out, she's going to go
in Daughter of Check?
Yeah. But, I mean, Aaron, like, isn't she a good card in a Valor meta? Not because, obviously, if she gets Valor, it sucks, but... The fact that it just is an impactful, relatively well-costed Lannister character that creates redundancy in your deck. Like, you know, hey, this is one more solid, impactful character that, you know, after a Valor, whether my opponents or mine, I can now play her out and it's easy to turn her on. And
so one of the things we did in building our Gen Con deck and building decks is we just go through and cut anyone at 4 cost who's not no attachments. Like, it was one of the first things we did. Like, we're just losing games if someone happens to run a ward. Like, you didn't have to be good to run ward and then beat me. Like, you could just take it. And, like, good players don't lose games for bullshit like that. She won't see as much play as you think outside of the Clansman deck. And in the Clansman deck, I don't think she's being run for her ability. I think she's being run for her icons and because you can jump her.
Okay, I think she's a C+ card.
Yeah, I have her as a C.
Yeah, with Ward kind of pulling her down a little bit, I guess C+ is pretty reasonable. She takes a little to activate, but I really do like the kind of efficient redundancy for Lannister.
I think she's an entertaining design. I just don't think... Like, I know if I'm going to Gen Con or Worlds in anything like the current meta, I'm not playing her unless it's a Clansman deck, and even then I'm playing her because she's an entry icon that I can jump.
Next card.
Time for another bad one.
Alright, Sir Gregor's Marauders. This is, again, House Lannister. 4 strength, 4 cost, military intrigue, House Clegane, Raider, Pillage, hey, Tywin Synergy, reaction. After Sir Gregor's Marauders discards an event using Pillage, stand Sir Gregor's Marauders.
A little more than a maybe-ish 10% chance, right?
Yeah, 10 percentage. I mean, it's good anti-Darkwings, Dark Wards tech.
Eventually.
Again,
like, remember, smaller boards, if you can, if and when you run First Snow, and a lot of Martell decks still do, like, you First Snow, next turn you're warding, and now it's like, I've got Gaston, I've got your 4 cost character, good luck. Or you ward the turn, yeah. It's bad news.
Yeah.
Can we just focus for a moment on how Aaron said if you play First Snow. I'm pretty sure listeners can go back to our original review and hear Aaron say it's basically an evergreen in all decks forever.
Oh, I might have, but like, it's still the most impactful card. Like, every build is built in the way it is because First Snow exists.
That's right? Absolutely true.
Like, whether it's played as much now or not, like, every deck building decision that's been made since it came out is made with First Snow in mind.
Absolutely true. First Snow is a massively oppressive card.
It changed deck building. And, like, it's First Snow's existence is part of why that 4-cost slot is so important, and it's also part of why that 4-cost slot needs no attachments. Just, like, the sheer existence of it. Losing to bad players, particularly when you're doing well, particularly when FFG likes having tournaments that are, like, 5 million people and then cutting to top 16, and you can't afford that unlucky loss because someone has that, you don't get to lose that way.
Okay, I'm going to definitely agree with Aaron that this is a sweet ward target, particularly because it has the intrigue icon and the military icon, and it's actually very efficient for its strength cost, like 4/4, the good icons and pillages, impossible stand is icing on the cake. In many ways, it's a better card to steal than a better card to play. But it's still, again, to just play devil's advocate a little bit here, it does, again, create redundancy.
You're going
to
give it like a C minus. Okay.
I'm going to give it a C minus.
Oh, wow. I'm not even giving it that. It's like a D. That's exactly. Maybe.
I was giving it a D plus, and I know Roy's giving it a C minus, and he's just defending it because he wants to like it.
This is only maybe standing like a quarter of the time.
No way that much.
Okay.
No way.
Probably less. I'm being generous.
Like, with Tywin a quarter of the time.
I'm also just choosing tonight, I guess, because I'm feeling contrarian against Aaron, to just sort of defend at least some of these cards' playabilities, even if I wouldn't necessarily run a deck or be interested in a deck running them. But, like, it creates more redundancy for a Lannister pillage theme. That's all I'm trying to say.
It does. D plus.
That's, you know what, Aaron? While as much as I'm playing Devil's Advocate, I will agree with you. D plus.
It's not good. It's not a good card.
There is a line he won't cross.
He's not going to lie about the rating of the card. It's like when the really dumb kid in class like writes something, and you're like, "Man, this is so much better than what you usually do." D plus. Because you know you usually can't string two sentences together, and now look what you did.
Ouch, Aaron. Ouch.
I was comparing Shaga to the dumb kid. Not Shaga. Gregor's Marauders to the dumb kid.
Let's go ahead and move on to Shaga then.
Is that me?
Yeah.
Shaga, son of Dolph. Non-loyal clansman. 3/4 military icon. Only trade is clansman. While Shaga's in your hand, he gains ambush 0 if you control a clansman or a Tyrion. Forced reaction. After he enters play using ambush, choose and kill a Lannister character you control. I mean, he's efficient-ish. I kind of wish he were like a 5/6 instead of a 3/4. He's efficient-ish. Is he worth the like forced reaction in 90% of the circumstances?
Maybe if we had like...
Like if they're going to win a military anyway, right? You can always jump him in and kill one of your guys. Win the military, hey, you got a slightly better body. I mean, I don't think that's good enough to run him even in like...
Well, if Lannister had something more like the Wolf Caitlyn, maybe, then I think I could be all for it. But
I mean, no, she doesn't even sack. He kills. He kills.
Well, but not literally the same, but kind of rewarded for repeatable, you know, losing your own stuff.
He even seems like he'd synergize with Ward, because it has to be a Lannister character, and, like, Ward gives them the Stark trait.
Oh.
So, like, it's like there was a Stark card. They were like, you know what? Oops, Lannister, whatever. Let's not change anything.
Okay, this is actually me legitimately saying this. One of the things that makes this card interesting and I think potentially powerful is that ambush 0, though. Like, that, you can't necessarily underrate that. Like, the ability obviously, you do have to kill a character, but without paying gold and surprising someone with this, you know, and doing, there's all kinds of tricks that hot, good level players can do with this card because of the fact that you can ambush him for free, whether you control Tyrion, and it could be any version of Tyrion.
Have we hit the card that's better than Kevin yet?
We're almost there.
Okay.
Just to troll you. I don't even care at this point. I am going to pick a card.
Yeah, I just want you to, because there isn't, so it's going to be great. There's one that I think might be close, but we'll get there.
But I think you can't really underrate that. I mean, he is, you know, good strength, low cost. You can do tricks where, you know, you do marshal him, you win the military challenge, bounce him with Tyrion, put him in for free to defend the military challenge, kill a shitty dude. Like, you know, there's like a variety of different tricks you could do with him that I think the fact that you can make him cost zero is, you know, of something to consider.
You talked me up to a C minus. I'd run one of in a dedicated clansman deck.
Well, with some more tricks, I think I'd put him in the C range, but right now it's more like a D plus.
I think he's a C minus. I think he's, because of the clansman synergy and the fact he does zero, it's C minus.
Like, he's better than Gregor's Marauders. Like, I can see running one of him. I can't imagine running Gregor's Marauders. Like, even a pillage deck Gregor's Marauders would piss me off. Alright. Will?
Okay. Tana Merriweather. She's a unique, non-loyal Lannister. 3 cost, 2 strength, intrigue and power icons, companion and lady traits. And then the reaction after you play an event, choose and discard one card from your hand to draw one card. You know, I kind of like it. I like another cheap, unique character for Lannister at this point. Like we were saying with Gregor's Dogs, though, this just really isn't this many triggers over the course of a game. So, I mean, that worries me. We're mainly kind of banking on her being a unique. I mean, she has a good trait there in Lady, and I'm kind of hoping that, you know, maybe Companion will wind up being a thing for Lannister. I can dream, at least.
Street of Silk.
Yeah, that's a solid option for him. Maybe. Hopefully. Soon.
Hot Pie's best friend.
I mean, she's definitely a Hot Pie's best friend. I mean, I think her problem is that she's 3 cost instead of 2. Yeah,
3 cost. 3 cost is awkward. Lady is nice. I'm not playing her.
I mean, Lady is nice, 3 cost. She's non-loyal, though, so she is nominally non-loyal draw. So,
yeah, like, that's something again, we had not seen before.
Again, that's something to keep in mind, because if you could design a deck that could really take care of these synergies, that likes the Lady synergy and wants the ability to filter its deck and is playing a decent amount of events, or only wants to do it once, maybe she's a decent melee card. You don't know. Like,
I don't know.
It's an interesting... She's at least mildly interesting, but I think her biggest drawback is that she's that 3 cost for 2 strength. I wish she was 2 for 2, and even if she only had 1 icon, I think she'd still be better.
You know, I'm just bummed she doesn't give us some neat synergy with Cersei some way. You know, it'd be a nice Nedley nod, or, you know, at least other ladies in general. It'd be a nice way to kind of connect it, but she's just... A card, no cool Nedliness anywhere.
So what? I'd say C minus, because I think she's interesting.
Yeah, I think she's just a flat C for me.
Yeah, C minus seems about right.
Moon Brothers, who I actually think is a very, very solid card. 3 cost, 3 strength, non-loyal, military icon, Clansmen Moon Brothers, and it has the action. During a challenge in which you control attacking Clansmen character, kneel your faction card to put Moon Brothers into play from your hand, standing, participating as an attacker. I think this is definitely a card that helps with the Clansmen deck. I think it's one of the engines for the Clansmen deck. With Tyrion, this card, you can definitely get some things going. You can win a military challenge, or it doesn't even, again, have to be a military challenge is initiated, so you can win the power challenge with Timmit, ambush him in during that challenge, raise what Timmit's able to do, you know, and there's just a lot of really cool things you can do with this card. So I actually think and it's not unique, of course. So you can't, because of the faction card, Neil, you can only put one per round in, but it's still very, very, very solid card that is one that could be one of the engines of the Clansman deck. So I definitely think this is kind of like a B minus card, and I really like it.
Yeah, It's the card that sort of makes the whole Clansman theme work.
Yeah, that efficient centerpiece.
Like, it's 100% a needed card, because you have to see that, and you better see the frickin' Mountains of the Moon. Otherwise, your Clansman deck's probably gonna flame out horribly. Still think it's probably a C+. Because, like, without the Mountains of the Moon...
I mean, he jumps right into the challenge without having to worry about the icons or anything. So he gives you some flexibility and redundancy.
And then you can jump into a military, right? It's just, yeah.
Right.
But now you're running three Timid and three, whatchamacallit, because they're the only other clans, three Chella, because they're the only other clans with icons, right?
Yeah, I think so.
This all seems problematic. Like, I'm not trying to be mean to Clansmen, I just think they need a lot. Like, when they go off, they're going to be amazing, but they need more than I'm comfortable with to do so. C+.
Yeah, I think C+ is probably a good range to be sitting at. But you did give me a little bit of an idea there, talking about some of the, you know, needing all that specific stuff. Just, you know, maybe it's worth kind of playing around with Banner of the Rose for all their search and kind of filter capabilities and seeing what you can put together.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
All right, Glazer, here we go. This is the card.
Okay, good.
No, it's you. To you. You're reading it.
Oh, I thought you meant this is the card that was better than, what's his name? Red Keeps
Spy. Oh, he also meant that.
Oh, did you also mean that? Decide, Roy.
Read the card, A Glazer.
A Glazer? Okay. Red Keeps Spy. It's a loyal Lannister card. There's not as many of those as you would think. Cost 3, Strength 3, Intrigue Icon, Ally and Spy, Ambush 4. After Red Keeps Spy enters play using Ambush, choose a character with printed cost 3 or lower. If you have more cards in hand than that character's controller, return it to its owner's hand. This is going to be really strong in a lot of situations, but it's also really awkward to play. Like, saying enters play using Ambush is a really, really strong safety in Lannister. Like, because that functionally reads, like, haha, screw you, to, whatchamacallit, to, like, 3/4 of Lannister's cards. This does nothing with a bunch of different ways Lannister has to jump stuff in.
Yeah, which is kind of interesting, you know, to see that they're getting all this cool ambush stuff and, like, bounce characters into play, but there's not, like, the overlap between those.
Yeah. Like, this has the limit of, it has to be ambushed, has the limit of 3, the character has to be 3 or lower, and it has the limit of that you have to have more cards than that controller. Character's controller.
Although in many
three limits.
In many situations, though, since you get to choose, would you say it's better than Queen's Assassin or not?
It's very situation dependent and depends on the deck. I don't think you ever really run both. It really depends on the deck and the meta. Like, I feel like Queen's Assassin is better once Valor comes out. This might be better for the, I don't know, 3 weeks until then. Like, once Valor comes out, if Borger's smaller, you'd rather just have the extra kill, right? Like, and you hope they'll take a dupe and that kind of thing. Red Keeps Spy, or...
Yeah, it's do you run this card with Tower of the Hand and just keep bouncing
you can afford
everything
to
the small?
You can afford to ambush 4 every turn.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's Tyrion rough. Makes that more reasonable.
Yeah, I think I'd just rather not. Like, I'll screw around with it, but I don't... Like, it's an ally, too. Like, are you really... They really
Are
just piled
people really
up.
Playing Dissension?
No, but they will be playing Sir Aerys.
But it's a spy. That's a positive trait, right?
It's a meaningless trait.
One day.
It's a C. It's a really, really average cards.
I'll go a little lower. I think it's actually a C-. I think. But I'm not.
When it goes off, it's going to win you a game, right?
Yeah, but.
It's hard to make that happen.
I think in some ways, like, a Queen's Assassin is a little bit of a win more card. So I'm not a huge fan.
You have to be up in hands. You have to have their board whittled enough so that dropping one character is going to be this big deal. It's a lot of shit.
I mean, I acknowledge it has some downsides.
But... I mean, if it was printed cost 4 or lower, we'd be getting somewhere, right?
Oh, well, yeah, but, well, that changes things a lot.
As is.
Yeah, but I still think she's worth a solid C. You know, flexible, kind of control option without being mind-blowing. So, you know, I'm for it.
I might be able to talk myself into C minus. Let's just do Alaya.
Okay, so Alaya. Lannister, non-loyal, unique, of course, 2 cost, 2 strength, intrigue icon, companion trait, and the reaction after you win a challenge in which Alaya is participating. Move 1 gold from the losing opponent's gold pool to your own. I mean, honestly, I like this. Kind of a cheap, little, efficient Lannister unique character. Helps out being able to reliably play, like, treachery. And it can, you know, intrigue's still the most likely to go on a post. So you can kind of get through a smaller character like this. Maybe keep your opponent off of some of their event or ambush plans for the round. Like, it's not amazing, but a flexible little card that I think I like quite a bit overall.
Your problem is ultimately in Lannister finding space. Like, because you're definitely not cutting Burnman for her in any deck. So that means you're looking at her or the military intrigue 2 for 2. That's the Red Cloaks. And, like, that's a hard call. Or the Tickler. Like, those are
hard. Or you're gaining the ability to skew the overall cost curve of your deck down to compensate post-Valor.
Sure, sure. I think she's okay. I really like her a lot more because of Hot Pie. I really think Hot Pie's a good card.
Oh, yeah. So, like, I mean, that's also true. The more of these we get in Lannister, the easier it is to get that resource edge.
I mean, I still don't think what's ultimately a mediocre Chud is more than a C+.
I think
she doesn't have a second icon. Like, I really hate monocons.
Yeah, I think she's the good kind of monocon to have because she's got that intrigue icon. I think she probably goes in an intrigue deck, like a Cersei deck as a one of. She does create Lannister synergies. She is a C card.
If you're not running core Tywin for some reason, like, the whole Hot Pie thing is the way to get extra economy, right?
Oh, I'm just waiting for the moment when I'm sitting on no gold and make an intrigue challenge with her, and my opponent forgets her ability, so I steal the gold that I need to use the tears on their own character. It's going to be living the dream.
I wish she didn't have to participate. She has to participate, too.
I mean, that will, but I mean, that play, though, that you just described, Will, is not that hard to pull off. Like, she does create tears situations pretty on her own pretty easily. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, and she doesn't have to be by herself either. Not, just in it, but not alone.
She's not the best Chud in this pack, or the set, and she's not the best card in this set. So, I'd still say she's a
Yeah. But she's better Chud. She might be the best 2-drop. Yeah, it's close.
We'll get there. So I get to read the next card, right?
Oh, did we actually read her? Or was that
just... Sorry, Will, I wasn't trying to rush you.
Oh, no, that's all right. I mean, I think in the end I just give her like a solid C. She's not amazing, but I personally really like where she is.
So my turn to read a terrible card?
He's not terrible, he's just not good. Go
ahead. Sir Lancel Lannister, House Lannister, non-loyal, character, 2 cost, 0 strength, military intrigue, knight lord. While you control exactly 1 other Lannister lord or lady character, Sir Lancel Lannister gains +X strength, where X is that character's strength. Okay, yes, this card is not the worst card in the pack.
It's good in a banner.
It's good in a banner where you're running one, like, I guess you're running Tyrion or Jaime.
Well, you would be running Tyrion and Jaime still, but, like, you're less likely to hit both, right?
You're less likely to hit both, but he's still 0 base strength. So many things hit him in a negative way at low cost. Like, Venomous Blade laughs at
him. We couldn't give him stealth. Isn't he, like, the stealthiest little motherfucker in the world?
I mean, he would be. He's kind of sneaking around.
At that point in the books.
In this, like, if this is circa Clash of Kings, right, then he is kind of sneaking around. Yeah. Or, for Cersei and for Tyrion in Clash of Kings. So yeah, if he had something else, I mean, he's good on setup, right?
He's got the lore trait, which matters for a Tretch.
Hey, I just want to point out, this is the card we were looking for to combo with the Jaime Lannister we were talking about, who's not a lord.
That's true. He would be a 2-for-5 with renown.
It's true. And when he's attacking alone, and he does...
No, wait, no. That Jaime is not a lord.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you can have that Jaime and still safely have something like a Tyrion.
Oh, my God.
That's true. And he will have renown when he's attacking alone.
Yep.
Awesome.
There you go.
Because the thing you want to do is stack renown on a base 0 strength 2 cost character.
Yes. Efficiency.
That's like the smartest play.
So much shit kills him. It's amazing, isn't it? Like,
I mean, which is kind of
like
niddling.
Every card they release is just like, this guy's going to die.
But, I mean, he's not the worst card, but he's still like...
Are you sure he's not the worst card? You say that, but like, I don't think you mean it.
You just literally said he wasn't the worst card.
Yeah, but I didn't
mean it. I don't know.
He's a D. He turns treachery on. He has a positive trait. Like, he's a card that if your fucking noble cause gets... enabled, hey, you can play him, right? So
I feel like I've made that argument about a card before.
So
you could play Tomen. Tomen at least has a fucking icon.
Yeah. Let's move on to a good card.
Yeah. I'm at that D spot. Let's just keep moving.
Yeah, I'm definitely at a D. Are you sure any of these cards are better than Sir Kevin?
Well, we're actually there, my friend.
Tomen is better than Kevin.
Tomen is better than Kevin, and I will make the argument.
Yeah, go ahead. Make your bet.
Well, say your Will's gonna. No, you have to read, Aaron. So.
Oh, all right. Tommen Lannister, non-loyal because he's a little kid. He's not loyal to anybody. 2-for-2 power, King Lord. He's chasing cats in the picture, which I think is actually going to be Roy's argument. Each player with no cards in their hand cannot gain power from challenge bonuses, unopposed, and rivals. So it's an empty your opponent's card hand. But that's not what it's for because that's a stupid ability. Like no one good is going to let you empty their hand for long. So this is ultimately a just cheap power icon that happens to be a king to turn off other kings, and a lord to get cheaper or use a certain abilities.
That's all true. It definitely like it helps fill some holes that Lannister has. It helps on setup. It's a power icon, which Lannister definitely can sometimes in a tight spot be. All it literally needs is a power icon. And here's a cheap, efficient one. He again, yes, he's a king. Yes, he's a lord. He turns things on. He's a good melee card. He definitely makes decks that like he's a huge great anti Greyjoy tech, right? With Greyjoy emptying their hand frequently, if they have to hold resources back, Lannister's gonna have no problem throwing those resources out of their hand. So this is a big fuck you Greyjoy card, right? And to a lesser extent, it's a fuck you Stark card because Stark also sometimes will just empty its hand because it can play all of its cards. Again, he's great on setup. And yes, Aaron, he does have the best art of any card in this box. All right. It has not one, not two, but three cats, a child actually enjoying his life, which is so rare in the Game of Thrones card game in the Game of Thrones universe. He's a massively Nedley card because he's, again, non-loyal because Tommen goes back and forth between Margaery and his mother. And it's got kittens. It's just like, what do you not want from a 2-cost monocon? Boom. He is a card that is better than Kevin Lannister. There you go, Aaron.
Oh, I know. That's facetious. So I'm not going to address that. But instead, I think I'll say I'm not super sold on him in Joust, though I do like Lannister's kind of getting this chunk of low-cost uniques that are... it might be a stretch, but I'm going to call them reasonable. But anyway, I do like his melee potential. I mean, hands have to be emptied, but you know, I think he could slow the game down, and I think he could be a tool to help convince opponents to really pile intrigues, you know, onto the Greyjoy player or something like that, so that you can, you know, convince them to work together and then drastically slow them down when they're not able to gain that bonus power. You know, there's certain decks that really slows down if you get everyone to agree, so I dig it.
He synergizes well with his mother, both versions of Cersei. Again, really, really well-designed card. A card.
All right. I'm going to ignore that dumbass rating. It's I like him better than Aliyah. I really do think a power icon is nice for Lannister. And, I mean, he makes Renly worse, and Renly's really fucking strong.
Man, all of these things, these are just arguments in support of my point. Thank you, Aaron. I appreciate that.
Sure. I'd still think I'd rather have an extra Milk of the Poppy by playing Kevin, but whatever. I don't know. I'm going to go B minus. I'm probably going to stick one of him in most Lannister decks.
Oh, I don't think I'd go that high. He's probably just a flat C for me.
I think you're underestimating the value of the King tree.
Probably am.
I mean, have you played against Beggar King?
You know, I don't think I've seen anyone else play it. I think I've been the only one down here so far.
Yeah, that 2 gold from Beggar King is ridiculously strong. And making that 1 can really fuck people over, making Renly killable. And that's the only 2 kings I think that matter right now, right?
I mean, I think it's still fairly efficient even at 1. I've never been unhappy to get that.
Sure, but 2 gold changes the entire equation for a lot of different plots.
Well, yeah. 1 gold. I mean, if you're playing against it, you always want them on 1 instead of 2, for sure. It's not like a game breaker.
It can be on the right turn. Like, remember Lannister Winter is a thing, right? I think it's good. I think it's a B-. I like him. All right, let's talk about a bad card, and then we can stop for the day.
Yeah.
Okay, Lannis Portgar. He's House Lannister and loyal. Non-unique, but 2 strength, 2 cost, military and intrigue icons, ally and guard traits, and reaction after you marshal Lannis Portgar. Each player draws 1 card. I mean, you're wrong. I kind of like it. Yeah, I mean, I like the cost and strength, the icon kind of thing. I wish he had, like, a knight trait or something that I could get behind.
You would give your opponent cards?
Well, yeah, it's optional, at least.
Yeah, but then, like, just play the fucking red cloaks.
Okay. But yeah.
Red cloaks aren't evergreen, let's remember that.
Okay, so in 3 years, you can look at this card and go, ooh, I'm not going to play that shit.
Oh, okay. You win with the red cloaks, but at least maybe in melee you've got some options to make some friends here.
Sure. In melee, it's a deal maker. But look, Tommen is a 2-coster. Tommen's better. Aliyah is a 2-coster. Aliyah is better. Like, why would you play? Like,
I mean, you didn't mention Lancel. Put you in a tough spot. This or Lancel?
I would play Lancel over this. Because, like, I'm assuming that if boards stay small, then like, oh my god, you killed my lord. Well, I got Lancel. Oh, look, my other card is the mountain.
Well, and Lancel has the 2 positive traits as well.
Right. This has ally and guard for all that guard synergy.
The number one reason that this card's terrible is that it's an ally. Like, why the fuck is this an ally? Like, it's
because it's too good otherwise.
Then why isn't Red Cloaks an ally?
The argument that someone's going to make for the Lannis Portgar, I can't for it to happen, is this goes in a Cersei deck.
Yeah, it does. Like, that's what it's designed for. Now, whether it will, it's
such
not
a bad idea. Like, I want to discard cards from their hand, so I'm going to give them cards to discard. No. Just if you empty their hand, you win. Shut up. Like,
it's not even, and you can't even, like, Harrenhal this in, right? It's only if you marshal it. So it's not like, oh, I'm going second, I'm going to Harrenhal this in, you know.
Oh, man. And the first location is something I would give an F to. That's hilarious. The next 2, like, Lansport guards an F, and so is the Golden Tooth. Spoilers for next week.
Okay, but so although, Will, do we want to do Aaron a favor and review Varian?
Talk about Golden Tooth.
Varian Steel Jet Dagger.
Valerian. No,
Steel Dagger.
No. I just want to say the Golden Tooth is terrible design, and then we can stop for the day. Like, let's props and slop some shit. Like, Lansport guard and Golden Tooths are like, like, they will be proxies until the end of time.
I mean, if this had some other stuff, maybe. But at the moment, I just have to go ahead and deal with what it's got, and I think maybe that's like a flat D, maybe?
It's got melee utility. Yeah, so you can take...
Yeah.
Is it really melee utility? Because it doesn't make deal.
Oh, no. Yeah, it does. Oh, each player. No, it doesn't. Jesus.
Well, yeah. It's each player, but I still think you could kind of wheedle that into some friends or some kind of application.
Yeah, I don't think
so. I wish it was familiar. Reaction after you marshal Lannisport Guard, choose an opponent.
Yeah,
you and that opponent... Game.
That's a really good melee card.
It is a really good melee card.
I know that.
Oh, that would have been so sweet. In Joust, basically the same card, but in melee, oh, it would have been so sweet. So sweet.
I mean, and if you're running like a combo deck where you just need to dig.
There you go. There's another. That's actually a legit argument. Like, if you're running a combo deck that for some reason isn't running Tyrell, this is
even if you're running Tyrell and you're like dig, like there's a combo where you can get like 9 power in one turn, you just need to dig for cards, you just run this with it and you're just like boom boom boom, more cards.
Yeah,
like it's still bad, but it makes it a D minus and not an F. Golden Tooth is still an F.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. I also agree, this is a D card, D minus, and yes, Golden Tooth is also an F.
It gets a 65. It passed and got to graduate high school.
D players. For diploma.
All right. Well, dear listeners, I know we had said at first that we were going to hit all the Lannister cards this week, but we were just a little too excited. So join us next week when we will finish off the rest of the Lannister cards since we've run out of time.
Prop. So, I
slop the Shield of Lannisport. Holy shit, is that card a tire fire?
Pre-slopping.
It's a tire fire.
I want to prop Will. Happy birthday, Will.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
It's not Will's birthday, yeah. But happy birthday.
Well, yeah, when we're recording, it's a day after.
Still, closest episode to your birthday, so, that we're recording together, so.
Well, thank you.
Hey, I want to prop Patrick Day.
Okay, go on.
I don't know. I just like him. He's a good communicator. It's nice to be able to, like...
Yeah.
Like, he runs a store, so it's nice to be able to, like, talk to someone about what FFG, like, makes sense and doesn't, and have someone who, like, knows that side of the business.
No, I mean, here's the important question. When you brought that up, did you even realize that the last week's episode was just an interview with him?
Oh, no. I saw his name.
I
saw his name on it, and I downloaded it, and I went, I'll listen to that later this week. And then I listened to, like, 3 minutes of Beyond the Wall, got annoyed, turned that shit off. And I haven't really done anything Thrones-related except play a few games with my lovely, lovely prop, Martell Fealty.
Nice.
Yeah, John convinced me to try out the Spear Maiden in it, and I've played, like, 3 games with it now and seen Spear Maiden on the last turn once, despite running 3. So I still have no idea if that card's any good.
Oh, man. I've been wanting to try that out, but I haven't gotten to yet. Well, gosh. I guess that sends it over to me. Well, I think I would like to prop a book that I'm reading now, Crooked City. It's a sequel to a book that I was reading back over the summer called Six of Crows that I propped. And the first one was kind of an Ocean's 11 heist book, and it was good. It's YA, kind of fantasy-ish sort of thing, maybe a higher level of technology, steampunk or something. So this one goes back to some other kind of more fantasy tropes, but still is kind of a fun caper type of thing. So I definitely recommend that folks read it. Yeah.
Hey, you know how I've been nice and not made you cut things all episode? I'm about to ruin it. Slops to Donald Trump in general. The election is coming. Please don't vote for
him. Ooh, you know, I'm actually not sure that I can cut that.
I will also agree with Aaron's slop, so.
Yeah, like, and if you're voting for Donald Trump, don't listen to us. We don't like you.
Well, Will disagree with that, but.
No, he won't. I don't think he will.
So, can I set something really important about this conversation?
Sure.
All of this talk about deplorables and Trump, I really feel like we've fallen into the danger zone.
Oh, it doesn't get any better than that.